Okay, we're starting in the bottom of Kuf Bet Amud Bet, 13 lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo tuchal ha-nefesh ima basar, ze'iver min ha-chai. The pasuk that's found in Dvarim Yud Bet, in the Parshia of Shechita, that's where we know about the fact that you have to shecht be'imat chulin. So in those psukim, we've already dealt with parts of this, which is, Rak chazak, levilti achol adam, you're not allowed to eat the blood, ki adam hu ha-nefesh, the dam constitutes the life force of the animal. Velo tochala nefesh ima basar. And you may not eat the nefesh with the basar. So that's somewhat of a cryptic description of what's there. That's the source, according to Rabbi Yochanan, for Eiver Min Achai. That had implications before in the Machloket, Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, as to what the correlation between dam and Eiver Min Achai is. Is it things that you're chayav for dam for, you're chayav for Eiver Min Achai? Is it only things where the basar is mutar, then the Eiver Min Achai is problematic? And that implications as to whether Eiver Min Achai applies only to kosher animals or also to non-kosher animals. So that's where we've seen it before. Over here, look, no tochal nefeshim basar, Rashi explains that the Eiver Chai mikrina nefesh, a live limb is called a nefesh. Sheim yechatchenu, if you cut it off, eino oseh chalipin, it doesn't regenerate, it doesn't replace itself. Shelo yeshuvot, it won't return. Ken nefesh atnitula sheino chozeret. Just like when a person passes away and the nefesh leaves, it doesn't come back again. You can't resurrect the individual. So just like a person, when their nefesh leaves, they can't be resurrected, so too a limb is called a nefesh because it can't be regenerated, resurrected, and so it has the same classification as nefesh. And that's what the pasuk means. Lo tochal ha-nefesh, don't eat the aver, bo'od im ha-basar, when there's still life left in the basar, when the animal's still alive, don't eat the nefesh. Nefesh is a reference to the aver. That's how we get the source of aver min achai, from that pasuk, lo tochal ha-nefesh im ha-basar. U-basar b'sadeh treifa lo tochelu, that's the pasuk in Parshat Mishpatim. We've seen this a number of times, including for the restriction of something that you'd say mi-michitzato. Something that leaves its boundaries, for instance, an ubar that sticks its arm or leg out while it's still in utero, that makes it then problematic, even if you shecht the mother, because it left its mechitza. Basar v'sadeh treifa lo tochelu. So now, Rabbi Yochanan uses that for ze basar min achai, ubasar min atreifa. That teaches you about two things. One is basar min atreifa, flesh from an animal that is a treifa, that would be restricted. That's almost pashtut a pasuk, which is basar basadeh treifa lo tochelu, animal that's been made into a treifa. You may not eat the basar from that. In addition to that, you have basar min achai, which is that an animal that's alive, not only is an aver min achai problematic, there's a separate restriction of basar min achai. If you take off the basar from that which is alive, then that's also problematic. Because basar basadeh treifa lo tochelu means basar that's left its proper place. And those both notes over here, midichtiv basadeh. The word sadeh means perish mimkomo. It's left its location. It's left its place where it's supposed to be. And that means basar, that's what we said, went outside of its mechitza. Its mechitza could be the fact that it's in utero, or its mechitza could be the animal itself, if you darshan basar min achai from there. And so basar chai has left the place where it's supposed to be. And then obviously, treifa is the pashtut of pasuk, so that a treifa is restricted. And the difference between eiver min achai and a basar min achai is that basar min achai has to be comprised of a kazayit worth of basar. On the other hand, eiver min achai can be comprised of a kazayit that's made up of gidi, matzamot, and basar. So you don't need a kazayit basar there, and therefore the two are independent isurim. And there's a chidush in the Torah that your chayav eiver min achai, even though it's not made up of a kazayit worth of edible items, because it includes gidim and matzamot that are not normally considered to be food items, nevertheless you're chayav for achila in them. That's the chiddush of Eiver Min Achai. Basar Min Achai is like any other regular isur min haTorah that you need a kazayit of basar in order to be chayav. Shimon Lachish Amar, lo tochal ha-nefesh ima basar, that pasuk that we already quoted before, zeiver min achai u-basar min achai. It has both of them implied in that pasuk. Because it says, lo tochal ha-nefesh, ve-lo tochal basar. Meaning that the pasuk can be read or split to say, lo tochal ha-nefesh, and then, lo tochal ha-basar. So you have both of them there. And so there's, lo tochal ha-nefesh, ima basar. Don't eat the nefesh when the basar is still chai, I mean, that's the Eivir Min HaChai, and lo tochal basar when there's nefesh. Don't eat the basar when there's still life in the animal. So either one of those is garnered from that pasuk. And then, ubasar basadeh treifa lo tuchelu, ze basar min ha-treifa is the, again, the pashtut pasuk. So now, the Gemara is going to test the limits of their limudim, which is, achal Eivir Min HaChai, ubasar min ha-chai. If you ate both Eivir Min HaChai and basar min ha-chai, Rabbi Yochanan chayev shtayim. For Rabbi Yochanan, you'll be chayev two different restrictions, because they derive from different psukim. One from the pasuk of lo tochal hanefesh im basar, which is Eivir Min HaChai, and basar basadeh treifa lo tuchelu teaches you basar min ha-chai. Shimon ben Lakish einu chayev lachat. You're only chayev for one violation, because Eivir Min HaChai and basar min ha-chai derive from the same pasuk, according to Reish Lakish. Therefore, you're only chayev one. Achal basar min ha-chai ubasar min ha-treifa. If you ate basar from a chai and basar from a treifa, the Shimon Lakish chayev shtayim. In that case, according to Shimon Lakish, you're chayev two, because basar min ha-chai comes from lo tuchal nefesh shima basar, and basar min ha-treifa comes from basar basadeh treifa lo tuchelu. So two different sources. Rabbi Yochanan chayev lachat. Rabbi Yochanan only chayev one, because they derive from the same pasuk. Basar basadeh treifa lo tuchelu teaches you both items, both basar min ha-chai and basar min ha-treifa. Therefore, you only chayav one. Tosafot makes a note over here about the fact that this is not necessarily because it's a lav shibakalot. He says we have other psukim, like the eating of the korban pesach, that you have to eat it sli and not na and mebushal. And even though over there, if you ate it na and mebushal, you'd get two sets of malkot. The same thing with other restrictions like nazir, where it gives a enumeration of items there. We don't call it a lav shibakalot. And we would give multiple malkot for violations that involve the same pasuk or the same restriction. Tosafot says that's because the enumerations in those cases are, first of all, explicit. You have explicit restrictions of na'am mebushal. In addition to that, you have the word vav, a vav in between them, which tells you each one of them individually will be chayav. And he said, Eino Hanami, if it had not said, like we have the pasuk, which is a basar, basadeh treifalo tochelu, but rather, basadeh vitreifa lo tochelu. Had it written it that way, you'd actually be chayav too, even though they derive from the same pasuk. Because then it would tell you that basadeh and treifa, both of them are governed by lo tochelu. You may not eat it. The way that we have it in the pasuk is basar basadeh treifa lo tochelu, it's all one lav. And therefore you can only get one set of malkot, despite the fact that it includes two different concepts in the terms here, one basadeh and one treifa. So even though they're both subsumed here, it's not a lav shibaklalot because each one's identified separately. On the other hand, they are not individually chayav because there's no vav that creates two separate items that you're going to be chayav for each one individually. So those are the two things. One is you are chayav malkot, it's not a lav shibaklalot, but on the other hand, it's not like the other lav shibaklalot where the vav makes it that each individual item that's enumerated, you'll get a separate set of malkot. That's why over here, even though basar min ha-chai and treifa min ha-chai derive from there, you will get one set of malkot, but you cannot get two sets of malkot if you are in violation of both of those simultaneously. Achal Eivir Min HaChai ubasar min ha-treifa. If you ate Eivir Min HaChai, which derives from the pasuk of lo tochal nefesh im basar, and basar min ha-treifa, which derives from basar basadeh treifa lo tochelu, the divrei hakol chayav shtayim. Everybody agrees there that your derivation is from two different psukim. And there you're chayav too. Vermini, is that really true, what we just said about Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, that they both agree that in this particular situation, you're going to be chayav shtayim when you eat Eivir Min HaChai and basar min ha-treifa? Because we have the following machloki between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, which does not seem to corroborate that, which is of acham Eivir Min HaChai min ha-treifa. One who ate Eivir Min HaChai from a treifa, so you're in violation of both problems. You have a problem of treifa, and you have a problem of Eivir Min HaChai. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav Shtayim. So Rabbi Yochanan, similar to what we suggested over here, says you're Chayav Shtayim. But Rabbi Shimon Lakish, unlike what we say here, where we said he would be Chayav Shtayim, Amar Inu Chayav Elachat, says you're only Chayav One. So Bishlam Ola Rabbi Yochanan Necha. So Rabbi Yochanan's consistent with his Shita from before, which is over here, you're Chayav Shtayim, because treifa and Eivir Min HaChai derived from two different psukim. And therefore, you're going to be chayav separately for each violation. Ela Rabbi Shimon Lakish Kasha. According to Rabbi Shimon Lakish, who also says they derive from two psukim, and we assume before you'd be chayav shtayim, all of a sudden over here he's saying you're only chayav achat. So Amar Rav Yosef, lo kasha. That's not a problem. Kan b'bimei ma'achat, kan b'shtei b'emot. Depends where they derive from. If they derive from two different animals, then you can be chayav on each one of them because they derive from a separate isur, Abram and Achai from one, Trefer from the other. Those have sources in two different psukim. So when you eat them together, you're going to be chayav shtayim. One for Abram and Achai, one for Trefa. On the other hand, if it is behema achat, then you have a problem of isur, chalal isur. Trefa and Abram and Achai, can they be chal on the same behema? If you have two behemoth, you're chayev shtayim because the isurim can live independently, and since they derive from different sukim, you're chayev shtayim, but behemah achat, plige. That's where the machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish is by behemah achat. Because behemah achat, my plige, what exactly is the machloket? Amar Abaye, koshon shenitrefa im yitziyat ruba. So Abaye explains it's a case where it became a trefa when the animal was born. As it exits and reaches the point of rove, it became a trefa. The truth is, you don't need that to be the case. You don't need it to become a trefa exactly at that moment when rove goes out, because it could even be a congenital trefa. The tarfut of the animal only has implications once it's born. Because an animal in utero, if the mother was shechted, would be able to be eaten because of kol bibehema, anything that's inside the mother. So the fact that it's a trefa only has implications or manifestations once it's born. An animal's only born once the rove leaves the mother. So that's what's being said here. There, it just happens to be trefa at the same moment of the rove coming out, but truth is, even if the trefa preceded that, it wouldn't matter because it only applies once the animal is born. Mar savar behema bechaya le'evarim omedet. An animal, while it's still alive, is really cut up into pieces. Ve'isur trefa, ve'isur ever b'hadei hadodi ka'atu. And therefore, the Isur of Trefa and Aver come simultaneously. Umar Savar and Rish Lakish believes, Bema Bechaya, Lab Devarim Umedet. Below at the Isur Aver, Chayala Isur Trefa. And therefore, you don't have Bavata Achat, and then you have a problem of Ein Isur Chalal Isur. How do you look at an animal while it's still alive? An animal still alive, is that a whole entity? And since it's a whole entity, until you sever an Aver away from it, the restriction of Aver Menachai is not applicable. When does Eber Ben Achai kick in? When you've severed a limb away from the wholeness of the animal. Or do we look at an animal when it's alive as being a compilation, collection of Evarim that are Eber Ben Achai? And so yes, it's a whole entity, but it's a whole entity that's comprised of many different Evarim. So when does the Isur of Eber Ben Achai kick in? Does it kick in immediately when the animal is born? Because it's a bunch of Evarim together that make up a whole. Or is it only Aver Min Achai when you sever that Aver away from the animal? The difference will be whether the Isur Trefa and Aver Min Achai happen simultaneously. If you believe when the animal is born, it's a bunch of component parts that make a whole, then Aver Min Achai and Trefa happen at the moment of birth. They're both Isurim devolve at the same moment. And we know when it comes to Ein Isur Chal Isur, Bat Achat overcomes that problem. And therefore you'll be Chayav for both of them. That's Rabbi Yochanan's view, and that's why you're Chayav Shtayim by Bebei Machat. Tosfot in Masechet Shvot and Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph says, "Miyo Yesh Lomar the Isur Yom Kippurim Luchayo Lo Michayim Velo Lachar Mita Mishum Deipei Isur Asay Shein Azbucha." That there is this Isur Asay that it wasn't shechted. Dichtiv as Avachta Ve'achalta. Mashata Zuveach Ata Ochel. Ava Mashiata Zuveach Lo. It is that an animal that is not shechted, and we discussed this earlier in the Masechta. Is there an Isur that pre-exists? And Shechita is removing that Isur. This idea that the animal is considered or classified as an Ena Zavuach, meaning that it's Shechita takes away the Isur of not being shechted. So there's a restriction that says if you're not shechted, you can't eat it. And then once you shecht it, you remove that Isur of Ena Zavuach. And that's the Isur Asay that derives from this pasuk of Zavachta Ve'achalta. Ule Ritzba Einira Peruzeh. The Ritzba says he doesn't think that's right. Because he brings our Gemara on the last daf of Gidon Hashem, and he shows from there that we have all of these Isurim that are being chal, and how are all of these Isurim chal if by definition Ein Zbucha exists, and then you can't have Isur chal al Isur. Because as we said, that a filu b'me'aim kaima b'isur zeh, Ein Zbucha applies even in utero, because the mother's shkita needs to free it. And therefore, none of the other Isurim should have been chal in this case. Ela v'adai v'zavachta lo'ata le'asur. It's not coming to make an isur. The balav achi asura v'kaimo. The animal's asur even without a nezavuach. That's because it either has Eber Menachai, and once it dies, it has an isur neveva. So the only thing Shechita does is it removes the isur of Eber Menachai and prevents it from becoming a neveva. And so therefore, that's the purpose of Shechita, not a mitzvah to remove the isur aseh of a nezavuach. And its main proof is from our Gemara over here, because of Ein Yisur Chal Yisur, otherwise none of these Yisurim could devolve. So that's a Tosvot and Shavuot and Daf Kavdal that we mentioned in the introduction to the Masechta. For Reish Lokish, he says that an animal, while it's alive, doesn't have a din of Eber Menachai. It's in a unit. It's a single entity. When you sever the Eber away, that's when Eber Menachai kicks in. Well, that's afterwards. Now you're trying to have Eber Menachai be Chal, on Trefa, that's trying to make it that Isur Chal Al Isur. If that's the case, doesn't work, because Ein Isur Chal Al Isur, according to this view in Reish Lakish, and that's why you only be Chayav Echad. For Trefa, you're not going to be Chayav Echad for Eber Menachai. It'll actually turn out, we're going to see later in today's daf, there's a Tosafot on the next Amud, and he's arguing on Rashi, as to whether Eber Menachai can have application when you break it apart into pieces. So what's interesting here is that according to Reish Lakish, you could actually be chayav for Eber Menachai until you hit a Kazayit Basar, where you'd be chayav for Trefa, and then you would no longer be chayav for Eber Menachai. Which means that if you eat Eber Menachai without a Kazayit Basar in it, then you ate it without consuming a Kazayit Basar. If you did such a thing, you'd be chayav for Eber Menachai, even though Trefa was there first. Because over here, Trefa is not applicable. Then when you hit a Kazayit Basar, you become Chayav for Trefa, and no longer Chayav for Eber Menachai. So it's just interesting that if, according to Reish Lakish, you could slide through the Isur of Eber Menachai into Trefa, which would then make it that you're no longer Chayav for Eber Menachai. So you could actually still be Chayav for Eber Menachai, because it's below the threshold of Trefa, which is a Kazayit Basar, whereas Eber Menachai does not require a Kazayit Basar. It requires a Kazayit together with the Basar, the Gidim, and the Atzamot. All the component parts of the Eber Menachai have to consist of a Kazayit, and that's what makes you Chayav, even if you don't have a Kazayit Basar. Tosafot just notes over here that Rabbi Yochanan in other places seems to believe that Isur Kolel works to overcome the problem of Ein Isur Chalal Isur. And if Isur Kolel works, certainly Isur Mosif works. And Eber Menachai is clearly an Isur Mosif because Ben Noach is Chayav in Eber Menachai. If that's the case, then why does Rabbi Yochanan need them to happen simultaneously? Even if they didn't happen simultaneously, Eber Menachai can devolve upon Trefa because of it. It's Mosif. So Tosfot says that Rabbi Yochanan's position over there was an explanation of a Mishnah. And he was giving explanation to the Mishnah, but he doesn't hold of that. He holds that for Isur Chal Isur, only Bevat Achat would work, and that's why the Gemara presents it this way over here. Vibayitema. Here's another way to explain their Machloket. Tekulei Alma Be'emer Bechaya Lav Deivarim Omedet. Everyone agrees that an animal is a whole unit, and Eber Menachai doesn't happen until the Eber is severed. And their machloket is whether Isur Eber Menachai can devolve upon the Isur of Trefa. Rabbi Yochanan believes that it does work over there because it's an Isur Mosif. And for that reason, you can have Eber Menachai devolve upon Trefa. And Reish Lakish is going to believe, despite the fact that it's an Isur Mosif, we still say, Ein Isur Chal Al Isur, and therefore there's no din of Eber Menachai devolving upon Trefa here. Vibayitema is a third way to explain their machloket. That an animal, when it's alive, is component parts. And so therefore, Eber Menachai happens at the same time as Trefa. Okugon, Shenitra Falacha Mikan. It's a case where Trefa happened later, not at the time of birth did the Trefa happen. Now, it wasn't congenital. It didn't happen when the robe of the animal was exiting. The Trefa happened exactly at that moment. So they were bevat achat, but rather, Eber Menachai happened right away. Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, everybody agrees that Eber Menachai happened. Question is, who might the Isur Trefa, Kala Isur Eber come ifligate? Can the Isur of Trefa devolve upon the Isur of Eber Menachai? Mar Savar Ati V'chayol. One, Rabbi Yochanan believes that the Isur of Trefa can devolve upon the Isur of Eber Menachai, or in essence, he basically holds Isur Chal Al Isur outright. Doesn't matter what it is, Isur Chal Al Isur. Mar Savar and Reish Lakish believes Alati V'chayo, Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. Over here, even if you believe Isur Mosif, Isur Kolo doesn't have any of those. Here, Treifa has a lower standing than Eber Min Achai, and therefore Treifa would not be chal according to Reish Lakish. Rashi happens to note that for Rabbi Yochanan, of course, it's Yisro chal al Yisur, and Treifa devolves upon Eber Min Achai. On the other hand, for Reish Lakish, the Yisur Treifa has to wait until the animal's shechted. Because at the time that the animal's shechted, then Eber Min Achai goes away, and Treifa kicks in. So Reish Lakish, Treifa is suspended until the time that Eber Min Achai disappears. It's an important aspect of Ein Yisur Chal al Yisur. When you say Ein Yisur Chal al Yisur, it doesn't mean the second Yisur disappears. It just means it's suspended until there's a possibility of it being Chal. So in this instance where Eber Min Achai blocks Yisur Treifa from being Chal, that's only true as long as the Yisur of Eber Min Achai still exists. As soon as you shech the animal, and the animal no longer has the din of Eber Min Achai, then Treifa will kick in. It's not like Reish Lakish thinks that the Yisur of Treifa disappears and it's never devolves here. The truth is that Eber Min Achai is only a temporary status. And since it's a temporary status, because the animal dies, then Treifa will kick in at that moment. They just can't be chal. Once you have Eber Min Achai, Treifa can't kick in at that earlier point in time. Those are three different ways to present this machloket of Yochanan and Reish Lakish according to Abaye. Rav Amar, Rav presents a different way to explain their machloket. He severed an aver from the animal, and in severing the aver, that's what caused it to be a treifa. That's what made the animal a treifa at that moment. So, for instance, Rashi says over here, it's a case where he severed the limb, and Rashi says over here, kagon, that he took off min arkova on the malo, he took off a leg above the area of the arkova, which makes the animal into a treifa. Or in a case where you cut through the tzomet ha-gidim, which we also know is something that makes it into a treifa. So something where there's a visible treifa when you've severed the limb from the animal. So then you get simultaneous, which is marsaver beima b'chayel evarim ena. The proper way to formulate it is marsaver beima b'chaya lav le'evarim omedet. That's the proper way, that it does not for its evarim, meaning that it's a whole entity. So therefore, now when you sever the Aver, at that moment Aver Min Achai comes and the Treifa comes, both at the same time, simultaneously. That'd be Rabbi Yochanan's view. That's why you're Chayev Shtayim. And Reish Lakish believes that an animal is component parts. Therefore, Aver Min Achai happened immediately upon birth, and Veloati Yisur Treifa V'chayla Yisur Aver, and Yisur Treifa can't devolve upon the Yisur of Aver Min Achai, because that is Ein Yisur Chal al Yisur, according to Reish Lakish. Alright, so now we have Amar Rabbi Chiya Bava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Achal Chelev Min Achai, Min HaTreifa. If a person ate Chelev Min Achai, that is a Treifa, Chayav Shtayim, you're Chayav 2. So Amar Le Rabbi Ami, Velema Mar Shalosh. What do you mean 2? Ani Omer Shalosh. I think there are 3 violations over here. Itmar Nami, we have another Amora bringing the member from Yochanan in the same manner, which is Amar Rabbi Bo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Achal Chelev Min Achai, Min HaTreifa, Chayev Shalosh. You're Chayev for 3 violations over there. So now, what are the possible violations that you have over here? So, Chelev is obviously one of these Yisurim we're speaking about here. There's an Yisur to eat Chelev. Treifa is also one of these Yisurim. The third Yisur seems to be what's called Chelev Min Achai, or Eber Min Achai, which is somewhat difficult to understand, because how exactly do you have chelev that is Eber Min Achai? That's because chelev either is problematic because it's not called basar, and Eber Min Achai or basar Min Achai is something that is basar, and chelev is a separate entity from that. So therefore, there are those like the Ramban who say that the situation here is when you eat, for instance, a whole kidney with the chelev on it. You have to find an Eber that also has chelev with it, and that makes it into chelev min achai, or eber min achai, because you have a whole entity, and you ate a kidney along with the fats that are around it. The difficulty with that is that, really, you're talking about 2 separate entities. The chelev is not what makes the eber. The eber is the kidney, the chelev sits on top of it. Nevertheless, the Ramban considers that to be the chelev min achai, or eber min achai, but the Ramban, in saying such, believes that eber min achai has application to basar and chelev. You don't need to be basar in order to be Eber Min Achai. Other Rishonim, like the Rashba, believe that you have to be considered basar to be Eber Min Achai. And in the essence, what he says is, Chelev has a din of basar. And therefore, you can have Eber Min Achai that's associated with other Chalavim in the animal. See, the Nafkamim between the Ramban and the Rashba is whether this only applies to Chelev Kuliyah, or does it apply to other chalavim that are inside the animal? But be that as it may, whatever the scenario is, the machloket here is, how many violations do you have over here? Do you have two violations or three violations? And that's what Mara wants to know about Micah Miflege. What is the machloket between them? It's again the same scenario that we had before where it became a treifa when the robe of the animal exited, when it was being born. So that means that that's when the treifa happened at that moment. Again, it could have happened before. Just that when it's born, that's when it matters. Mandamar shalosh kasavar. Behema b'chaya levarim omedet. When it says three, it says that an animal while it's alive is made up of component parts. Therefore now you have Isur Chalef, Isur Aver Menachai, the Isur Trefa Bahade Adad Ikatu. They all happen simultaneously. At the moment of birth, all of these Isurim devolve. Trefa, because that's when it becomes relevant. Aver Menachai, because it's component parts once it's born. And Chalef, because Chalef is only relevant once it's born. Now, that's an interesting concept because we saw earlier in the Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan believes if you go inside of an animal and talash chelev from an animal, that would be chayav for chelev. So Tosfot says, what do you mean? Chelev only applies once it's born. Chelev applies even before it's born. So Tosfot in the Gemara back on Ayin Hay already noted this chiddush, and he repeats it over here, which is, even though Rabbi Yochanan believes that chelev from a fetus, you are chayav for if you're toleshit, you only become chayav for chelev once it leaves the mother. So even though it's chelev, and it's classified as chelev from the fetus, it only takes on a shame chelev when it exits the mother. When you go in there and pull off the chelev, it's still not called chelev until you take it out physically. It has to come out. And that's what's being said over here as well, that until the animal's born, it doesn't garner the shame chelev. And for that reason, they all happen simultaneously. Mandamar shtayim, the one who says you only chayev shtayim here, is kasavar beima b'chaya lav levarim omedet. An animal, when it's alive, doesn't have a din of evarim. Therefore, isur chelev, isur treifa, iko. Chelev and treifa happen at the moment of birth. Isur Eiver Loati Chayo. Isur Eiver is suspended until you take off the item and Eiver Minachai. But at that point it's too late because you already have the Isur of Treifa and the Isur of Chalev that have devolved already. And therefore Eiver Minachai is not going to be Chal on them because Ain Isur Chal al Isur. Vi Bayitema. Here's another way to explain their Machloket. Kulei Ama Beima Bechaya Lav Leivarim Umedet. An animal while it's alive does not have a din of Eivarim. It's not component parts. The machloket is, can you say Isur Chalal Isur for Eiver Menachai on top of Chalev and Trefa? Marsava Ate Chayo, the one who says that it works, it is Chal, again, because it is an Isur Mosif, because either you hold Isur Chalal Isur, period, or you hold that Eiver Menachai is an Isur Mosif because it also applies to a Ben Noach. Marsava Lo Ate Chayo. And then the other view, which is the view of Rav Chiya Abel, that it's only chayv too, is either ain isur kalal isur, or even though it's an isur mosif over here, the ben noach is not sufficient to make it that it's kal. V'ibayitema, kuliyama beim b'chayale varim omedet. Or everybody thinks that an animal in its lifetime is comprised of component parts. Grigon shen nitrefa lachar mikan. But the treifa only devolved later. The isur of treifa only happened later on. So at the moment of birth, you have Eiver Minachai be a problem and Chelev be a problem. Treifa is now not in the play yet because it wasn't a treifa. Then it becomes a treifa later on. And they argue whether the Isur of treifa can devolve upon the Isur of Eiver Minachai. The view of Rabbi Abau and Rabbi Ami is that it does successfully devolve. It's no different than Chelev. Damar Mar, because we have a din with regards to Chelev. Torah Ma, Yovo Isur Nevela, Yichol Al Isur Chelev. The Isur Nevela can devolve upon Chelev. Yovo Isur Treifa, Yichol Al Isur Chelev. And same thing with regards to Treifa, that it can be Chal on Isur Chelev. That's based on a pasuk in Parshat Tzav, Perek Zayin Pasuk Chavdala, where it says, Chelev Nevela, V'Chelev Treifa, Yaseh Lachol Melacha, V'Achol Lo Tochlu. You may not eat it. Yichol Chelev, there's a restriction against eating chelev. The Torah here has a strange formulation of it and says, why is it telling you about a nevela and a treifa with regards to chelev? Why is that mentioned? We already know there's a restriction against nevela and treifa. We also know there's a restriction of chelev. What's the point of telling me over here that you can't eat chelev that's associated with a nevela and a treifa? That comes to teach you exactly what it says. Damar Mar, Even though the chelev was already a sur, when the animal dies and becomes a nevela is chal on that din of chelev. So even though chelev was an isur, and any isur chal al isur, nevertheless it's an exception to the rule. And the exception is that nevela is successful at devolving upon chelev. And same thing with treifa. It is successful at devolving upon chelev. So that, we have a gzeirat ha-katub by nevela and treifa, that despite that it's isur chal al isur, they still work. And they devolve upon chelev. Part of the chiddush might be that the fact that tumat nevela does not impact on chelev, nevertheless the isur of nevela does devolve upon the chelev, and that may be part of the why the pasuk tells you this information or tells you this chiddush of isur chalal isur, even though for some tanaim isur chalal isur anyway. So there is an additional chiddush here that even if you believe isur chalal isur, it's telling you that it's only the isur that devolves and not the din of tumat that devolves upon the chelev. So the chelev is asur, and asur be nevela, but it's not to make tumat nevela. So what this mandamar says is migo. Migo that nevela and treifa are successful at devolving upon chelev, they will also be successful at devolving upon eiver min achai. So that view is why you're chayav three. It was already chayav for chelev, it was already chayav for eiver min achai. Now we want to know, can treifa devolve upon those two isurim? Well, chelev, we know already, it's a gzeret ha-katub that it works. So he says, migo, that it works for the chelev, it also works for eiver min achai. That's the view of Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Abba, according to this view. Ve'idach. And then Rabbi Chir Ba'aba's view, why you're only chayav shtayim is, achelev hu techayav, or techayu. It works on chelev. Nevela and treifa do devolve upon it. Dehutar michlalo. Because chelev is an easier isur. But Eiver min achai, which is not as light an isur, you don't have that problem. That is because when it comes to chelev, chelev applies to behema, not to chayah. So there are instances where chelev is mutar. That's not true by Eiver min achai. Eiver min achai has equal across the board, meaning it applies to a behema and a chayah equally. So maybe the reason that treifa can devolve upon chelev, it's a gzeret ha-katub, but maybe the reason is because chelev is a lighter form of isur. Given that, that's why treifa is successful at devolving upon it, and that's why there's isur chal isur. But then you can't extrapolate to eiver min achai and say, migo, that it works by chelev, it also works by eiver min achai. And therefore, yes, treifa will devolve upon a chelev, but it will not devolve upon eiver min achai, and eiver min achai will block the fact that treifa exists over here, the problem of treifa. That means that when the animal dies afterwards, then it will devolve at that moment because Eiver min achai has disappeared. And at that point, already nevela or treifa can impact the chelev. But that will not be while it's alive. And therefore, you can't have all three of these isurim coexist when treifa happened at a later moment. Now, the truth is that even though chelev is chutar michlalo, chelev also has a tzad chumra to it. Chelev has a tzad chumra, which is that you're chayv karet for eating chelev. Eiver min achai is only an isur lav. But the truth is that it's Eiver min achai also happens to have an additional chumra above chelev, which is that it's mitameh, which is not true of the chelev. And therefore there are tzad chumrot to Eiver min achai, which would make it that it's not necessarily a pol yotze, just because something's true by chelev, that it should be true by Eiver min achai. It's enough of a difference between them that you can't just say that chelev is more chamur, because there are aspects of chelev that are lekula. And you have these differences that come up. And because of that, maybe the din of chelev is not applicable to the din of eiver min achai. Now the Gemara moves on to another issue. Ki ata Rav Dimi Amar. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he brought a memra from Rabbi Yochanan, but it's really a machloket beis lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, we'll see in a second. Bai mine Rav Shimon ben Lakish mi Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Shimon ben Lakish queried of Rabbi Yochanan, chilko mi bachutz. If you split it up, when it's already outside, ma'u. What is the din? An eiver min achai, which is a single entity, what is the din, it being mitzaref? So Rashi over here explains, mi mitzarefe l'chiyuve, k'chol shari surim. Like every other Easter in the Torah, the kaimelan, the mitzarefe shirayu l'chatzim, b'toch kedei achilat pras. As long as you eat the kazayit that you need, b'kedei achilat pras, then you're chayav, even though it's in component parts. You don't have to eat the kazayit in one shot. As long as you get it within that time frame of a chilat pras, you are chayav. Or maybe over here by Eiver min achai, it's a chiddush, which is that gidei matzamot count towards it. And therefore, you're only going to be chayav if you eat it as a single unit, because it's called Eiver min achai. And maybe you need it to be an aver in order to be chayav. Once you break it up into pieces, it's no longer an aver. Maybe that doesn't work. And kedeach keder pras is not a relevant concept over here. So when you eat it, v'vadachat, you're going to be chayav. But if you split it up, you're not going to be chayav. That's Reish Lakish's question to Rabbi Yochanan. Mau, amar lei, patur. He says, if you break it up, mibakutz, no question, you're patur, it's no longer kol aver minachai, and you're not going to be chayav. Mibifnim. If you do it internally, my, what is the din? Amalei, chayav, you are chayav. Rashi over here defines, mibifnim is, lachar ba samuch lebeit liyato, balo lechatzayim. When it got close to the point where you swallow it, he broke it into two, and then he swallowed it. He breaks it up in his mouth, he's chewing it. He chews it, he breaks it up, and swallows one piece, and then swallows the next piece. Tosafot does not like that, he says, mashma. He says, from here, it sounds like, according to Rashi, if you put two half pieces into your mouth and then swallow them in one, you've overcome the problem of it being divided in half. He says, I don't think that's the case. What's the big difficulty with that? Why is that so hard to swallow? We'll see in a second. The Gemara's going to ask, how does this work? Well, what do you mean, how does it work? It's very easy how it works, according to Rashi. Therefore, the Balei Tosfot say, "V'nir lefarish, the chalkomi v'chutz patur, v'afilu achlo bevat achat." If you split it outside and you eat it bevat achat, that doesn't help. To be aish mechubar bepiv, you need it to be attached when it goes into the mouth. V'alav shem aver mishom dehocha chidushu. You need an aver in your mouth. That's the chidush over here. Aval chalkomi bifnim chayav. If you split it up internally in your mouth, you're chayav. The derechu shenechlach bepiv shat lisa. That's the normal way people eat. Chew on something, and then you eat it, so it's going to break up into pieces. That's why Rabbi Yochanan says you're chayav. But it needs to have a shem aver when it entered your mouth. Whereas Rashi seems to indicate that it doesn't need to have a shem aver. As long as you swallow it simultaneously, that rebuilds it into a single entity, even though it was a split entity before. And that's why Tosafot says in a second, the Gemara is going to ask, according to Reish Lakish, how do you ever have it? We're going to see in a second, Machloket, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, and Tosafot is pressured by that to say, unlike Rashi, it's not about swallowing it once, means it must enter your mouth in a single entity. So that's the other version, which is Giyata Ravin. Rav Dimi brought the Misora in that manner, which we saw before. There was no Machloket, just Reish Lakish querying of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan giving him the answers. Giyata Ravin, Amar Chilkomi, Bachutz Patur. If you split it outside, you're definitely Patur, because it's not called Eberamina Chai. Bibifnim, if it's in your mouth, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav, Reish Lakish Amar Patur. Here's the makhluk between them. Rabbi Yochanan amar chayav arei nehene grono b'kezayit. Your throat gets the benefit of a kezayit of eber min achai, and that's enough to make you chayav. The hana, that is what makes you chayav, is the swallowing. When it goes down your throat, that feeling, that sensation of hana, satisfaction is what makes you chayav. And there you had a kezayit of eber min achai that went down in that manner. Mishlakash amar patur achila b'meyav b'inan v'leka. It has to enter your stomach. The satisfaction of the stomach is where you are chayav, and at that moment it needs to be aver min achai. The moment that it hits the stomach, it still needs to be an aver. So this is where Tosafot criticizes Rashi. For Rashi, what's the big deal? As long as you swallow it as one, what's the big deal? You said to me that according to Reish Lakish, mibifnim means that you split it up and then you just swallowed it together. But vadachat, that takes care of everything. So what's so hard to figure out how Reish Lakish makes you chayav? It's easy. Reish Lakish makes you chayav when you swallow it bevat achat, because that reconstitutes the aver when you do it bevat achat. Elo, the Rabbi Shimon Lakish, sheikh mishkach alad mechayev. How are you ever chayav for aver min achai according to Reish Lakish? You have to get to your stomach as a whole. How's that ever going to happen? So according to Rashi, it's not a big deal. That's what Tosafot says. It just has to happen bevat achat. So that's why Tosafot changes the explanation for Reish Lakish and says, even if you break it up in your mouth, it's problematic for Reish Lakish. And that's why the Gemara wants to know now, how do you get it back together? It has to enter your mouth and enter you as a single entity. So Amar Rav Kahana, Bigrumita Zeirta. Grumita is a bone. Garme is a bone. Zeirta means a small bone. And the Farshim over here, the Rishonim say it's part of the construct of the hip. Or some suggest that it is the patella. And it's a very small bone, which you could swallow in one shot. Since you can swallow it in one shot, then you are a chayav for aver min achai, because it can go down whole without chewing it. You don't need to chew it. It's a small enough bone that it's sufficient to get down there without having to chew it. This has major implications because from here, many achronim prove that you do not need to be able to have to chew in order for something to be chayav or be chayav for any sur. Because you see over here, just swallowing is sufficient grounds to make you chayav even though you don't chew it. There are other achronim that disagree with that and say that here it's meant to be eaten in that way, because that's the derech achilah, because it's a unit that's made up of bones, and you can't chew it. Therefore, swallowing is considered achilah. But in instances where you do need to chew it before you swallow it, and you just swallow it, maybe that would not be considered derech achilah, and therefore you would not be chayav. Even if you split it up outside, you are chayav. Meaning that he argues on both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, even when split outside, mechusa kreva, lavki mechusa da maseh dami. Just because they're separated doesn't mean it's not an aver anymore. I mean, it's not something that requires any maseh to put it together, since it was an aver, and the problem is only that there's some distance between them, but there's no physical barrier between it, it still constitutes an aver. Amarev shimim elokish, kazayit shamru, chutz mishel ben shinayim. When you're chayavre kazayit, it's true of all that you swallow, with the exception of that which is left between the teeth. So anything that's left in your mouth that you don't swallow doesn't count towards the din of the kezayit. Even the stuff between your teeth counts towards the kezayit. Amar Rapapa says, you can't say that. Everybody agrees the stuff that's in the teeth doesn't count towards the kezayit. You didn't swallow it, and it's not in your stomach. It can't count. Where they argue is about the stuff that's in Chani Chaim. Rashi and Tosafot and other places in Shas argue about whether Chani Chaim is the gums or the molars, but over here it's pretty clear that we're not speaking about those items, but rather about something to do with the tasting or the sensation that comes from eating food, and therefore it would lead you to believe that it's either the tongue or the palate in this instance. Veshinayim, which are the incisors, Chani Chaim are usually beyond the point of the incisors. It means something further in than the teeth. But over here, it has to deal with the palate and the tongue. Stuff that's still caught up in the palate that hasn't been swallowed. You can see that in Rashi, and more explicitly in the Rabbeinu Gershom, where he says, Ki plige, v'shel ben achanichim, adavuk lachech, lifnim in ashinayim. So that's where the hanah happens, in the palate, inside of where the teeth are, beyond where the teeth are, but before the point where you swallow, and that also would help with regards to the position of Balei Tosafot, that chelkobim bifnim means literally you have to enter the item into your mouth as a full aver and then only afterwards split it up, because either, as we said, that chewing is your normal mechanism for swallowing something, that's expected, or because the hana comes from the chaych, from in the palate before you even swallow it. And therefore, at that moment when the full aver got there, that's when you got the hana, and that's what precipitates the sur according to this. Marsav are nene grono because I... It's enough that you got the hanah from the kezayit, and therefore you're going to be chayav over here. That's Rabbi Yochanan's shita. Mar sabar achila b'me'av b'inon. You need to get it into your stomach as a whole entity, and until it gets there as a whole entity, you're not going to be chayav. And that's Reish Lakish's view, and that's why you won't be chayav. Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Achal chatzi kezayit. If you ate a half kezayit, ve'kiyom, and then you regurgitated it, v'chazar v'achal chatzi kezayit, d'acher chayav. If you ate another chatzi kezayit, then you're chayav. So he swallows half kezayit, regurgitates it, and then he takes another chatzi kezayit and eats it, you're chayav. My time up. Hare nene grono b'kezayit. In the end, you swallowed a full kezayit, even though it was comprised of two chatzi kezayitim, and you regurgitated one of them, that doesn't matter. You got enough hana in your throat of a kezayit. Now, Rashi notes over here that this view of Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan argues on the previous statements of Rav Dimi and Ravin, who bring that Mesorah from Rabbi Yochanan, that this Mesorah that Rabbi Asi has definitely disagrees. And even though, according to Rabbi Ami, where it's Zeach HaZer over here, you still have it to be Mitzareif, stamped together, which would not be possible according to the view of Ravin and Rav Dimi. So Rashi claims that Rabbi Asi is arguing on them, and he has a different view within Rabbi Yochanan, somewhat more akin to the view of Rabbi Elazar in general, which is even Chelkomi Bachutz, it's not an issue. On the other hand, the Ramban argues over here that maybe Rabbi Yassi's statement wasn't made with regards to Eiver Min HaChai. Eiver Min HaChai is a unique din, and that's what Rav and Rav Dimi were speaking about. Rabbi Yassi's speaking about other Isserim Shimon Torah, not necessarily Eiver Min HaChai. And in that way, you could reconcile between them and say that Rabbi Yassi is not necessarily arguing on that position of Dimi and Ravin. So now, Boy Rabbi Elazar mi Rabbi Yassi. Rabbi Elazar asked Rabbi Yassi, Achal chatzi kezayit ve'kiyo. If you eat a half kezayit and then you regurgitate it, b'chazar, and then b'achlo, and you eat the same one, not a different one, not a different chatzi, the same one. Ma, what's the din? Ba'ikami ba'ile. What's Rabbi Elazar's question? If going down to the stomach is considered digested already, then there's no question that when he regurgitates it, it's nothing. It's like garbage coming back up. When he swallows it, he's not going to be chayav. Ilo avi igol, if it's not digested, then it's enough that when he swallows it again, you're going to be chayav. And bitubayalei kezayit. Why do you have to ask about a chatzik kezayit and a chatzik kezayit? Even one kezayit, a full kezayit, if you swallow it, regurgitate it, then when you regurgitate and swallow it, you'll be chayav for two kezayitim. Why do you have to set up the case as a chatzik kezayit, set up as a kezayit and kezayit, and ask the question that way? What's so special about a chatzik kezayit versus a regular kezayit? The question is about whether it's digested or not digested. Doesn't matter if it's a chatzik kezayit or kezayit. You need to know the same information. When you swallow again, are you chayav again? Ela, I batar grono aslinan, I batar meav aslinan. His question is, do we go after the throat, or do we go after the stomach in terms of satisfaction? Everybody agrees that it's not equal. It's not considered to be digested. And since it's not digested, when you regurgitate and you swallow it, question is now, is the throat what matters, and your throat had two chatzik kezayitim that passed through it, and therefore you're chayav? Or is it the stomach? In the stomach, you only ended up with the chatzik kezayit. It's the same chatzik kezayit you regurgitate, you swallow. So in your stomach, you only have a chatzik kezayit. B'tifshe lemi Rabbi Yassi. Why doesn't he answer the question from Rabbi Yassi himself? Because Rabbi Yassi already told us that if you swallow a chatzik kezayit, regurgitate it, and swallow a different chatzik kezayit, then you are chayav. So it's clear that grono is the impetus for the chiyuv, and not me'av. Gemara says, Rabbi Yassi gamrei yakerle. He forgot his mesorah from Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar had heard this from Rabbi Yassi, and then he realized Rabbi Yassi forgot what he had said from Rabbi Yochanan. V'ati Rabbi Elazar like the kurei. And Rabbi Elazar didn't want to tell him, Rabbi, don't you remember? He was trying to do it in a backhanded manner so that he would remember it. So he was trying to remind him. V'haki kamerle, lami chatzi kezayit acher. Why did you make the case where you swallowed a chatzi kezayit, regurgitated, and then swallowed a different chatzi kezayit? Lema mar bidzi day. Why don't you explain it in the same chatzi kezayit? Why are you saying acher when you could have said the same one? Dika lamash mimine tarte. You could have learned two things from it, shmeina mina. Dolo havi equal, number one, that it's not considered digested when you regurgitate it. Shmamina, dahare nene, grono bikezayit. And that the east story is about his throat and not the stomach. Rabbi Yassi is only teaching one of those two, that grono is the factor, and therefore when you swallow two chatzi kezayitim, you're chayav. But he's not teaching about equal because he has to eat a second chatzi kezayit that's not the first one. So Rabbi Elazar is saying, why don't you say that's the same chatzi kezayit, and then you would teach us also that it's not considered digested when you regurgitate it that way. Ishtik, velo amrle, velo midek. Rabbi Yassi did not respond to Rabbi Elazar. Amrle, mofet ador. Rabbi Elazar says to Rabbi Yassi, as the Rabbeinu Gershom says over here, klomar, adam chashuv, someone of significance, someone who is one of the greatest leaders of the generation. Gadol ador, the wondrous one of this generation. I mean, he's speaking to a tremendous respect, trying to remind him about what he had said previously. And he says, lo zimnin sagin amart kameh Rabbi Yochanan, many times you said before Rabbi Yochanan, meaning Rabbi Elazar is a talmid called of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yassi is also talmid of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar says, I remember many times that you said that before Rabbi Yochanan. V'amar lecha, rei nene grono bekezayit. And Rabbi Yochanan answered you in that manner, that the garon is the determining factor. So he did it b'lashon kavod, not to hurt him. He was trying to remind him that he had said this himself, Rabbi Yassi, before Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan had agreed to that. So in the end, Rabbi Elazar didn't really have a question. He knew it wasn't classified as equal. And he also knew that it was batar grono aslinan. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yassi, the way he presented the member of Rabbi Yochanan, was only giving you one of those two pieces of information, which was that it is batar grono aslinan, but he wasn't giving you the other information about that it's not considered digestion when you regurgitate it, and therefore when you swallow it again, it would be classified as a second achila. And so what Rabbi Elazar is trying to precipitate is Rabbi Yassi remembering that other din, and having him say the din slightly differently, so to capture both of those items. But Rabbi Yassi had forgotten what he had learned from Rabbi Yochanan, and even though it was Rabbi Yassi himself who presented that way to Rabbi Yochanan and got that answer, so Rabbi Elazar slowly reminds him and tells him that you yourself are the one who brought this issue up, and this is the answer that Rabbi Yochanan gave you. We're going to stop here at the bottom of Kuf Gimel Amud Bet by the end of the Perek. Hadran Alach, Gidin Hashem.